All right, as promised, we're joined right now by somebody who played 7 years in the NFL. He is now an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He also works for Westwood One and CBS Sports Network as a broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL, friend of the program, and a man who hates peeps, hates them with a passion. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I always love the last nugget you throw in there, man. You got the best research team around. Peeps are disgusting. Put them right up there with Cadbury eggs. Like, if you like either one of those things, there's something wrong with you.
The eggs don't bother me a lot, but I see you working with the peeps, Ross. The peeps are pretty disgusting. So really quickly, if there's somebody listening right now who thinks that's a reason to go, who loves peeps, what would you say to that person?
Well, I mean, if they honestly like peeps, I would just love to have a sit down with them and try to figure out, Jim, where it all went wrong. You know, was it childhood? Was it college? Have they not tried like a Reese's peanut butter cup? Are they not aware of things like Skittles and Starburst? Have they never had a Hershey chocolate? Like, here's the thing. First of all, peeps are gross. Secondly, they're not even like in the top 30 of things that you would choose to eat. So there's so many things going on there. I mean, it's decision-making. Let me just tell you this much. I don't think very many successful people in life eat peeps, Jim. Let's put it that way.
I think that's where you stop right there. I'd walk off on that. That's true. Like, name me one person you respect or one person who's had any element of success in their life that have ever put more than one peep in their face. I agree, Ross. Well said. All right, so last week, the owners, Ross, approved a 17-game regular season. As somebody who now covers the game and is a fan of the game and no longer plays the game, what is your reaction to that now becoming official?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not surprised, right? We all knew it was coming, and it doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people are up in arms about it. You know, from my perspective, as a guy in the media now, if anything, I'm just a little bit annoyed that can't say, oh, this team's going to be 8-8, this team's going to be 10-6. We have to adjust our numbers
right,
and get used to teams, you know, finishing with 17 games. But I actually like it from a player standpoint, and I think it's interesting. You don't often hear this perspective, Jim, because most of the players that get the attention are the top 50 players, the perennial Pro Bowlers, the Alvin Kamara, J.J. Watt, et cetera. But, man, I'm just telling you, Jim, like, there's only about five of those guys on a team. And if you got to late December and you asked all the other guys, hey, fellas, you guys want to play one more week? And, you know, the guy's making $1.7 million, get another $100,000. Every single one of those guys is going to say yes. Like, every one of them is going to say yes. They know they might only play 3, 4, 5, 6 years. They know how priceless every one of those game checks is. So they did it for the money. The owners did it for the money. The players did it for the money. But the players get a bigger share of it now. They get 48.5%. They know what they're getting into. And I think I've told you this before. You know, if that meant that I played one less year, you know, I don't know how much money I made in my 7 years, but let's say they add an extra game. I played 6 years instead. Okay, I was sweet. Then I would have been 27 when I started my next career instead of 28. I'm fine with that.
Ross Tucker joining us. I agree with you. I think there are maybe five guys per team that would say that. Alvin Kamara was not happy about that, but there aren't a lot of guys who make that kind of money. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Ross, you've spent a lot of time on this on your podcast, and we would need a lot more time, but I just want to bring up Deshaun Watson really quickly with you. And he's being accused of inappropriate conduct ranging from harassment to sexual assault in 21 different lawsuits. And then you see his attorney responding with a statement from 18 massage therapists who say Watson's great. So what's your reaction when you see this entire thing?
Yeah, so two things, right? The first one is, and this does not mean, I'm sure other people have mentioned this, Jim, this does not mean he's guilty. I've never heard of a guy having that many massage therapists. You know, people are really, really particular. And I know I was. You know, once I got a chiropractor I liked, that was my guy. You know, depending on what city I was in, Buffalo was Dr. Ridlinski. I wasn't going to anybody other than Dr. Ridlinski. You know what I mean? Like that becomes your gut. Your body's your life. And you don't want to go somewhere where they're going to mess it up. Or, you know, every time you get a massage, you have to fill out that form. It's like, what are your issues? And you have to write down, oh, I had a back surgery. I had this. I mean, is he filling out 40-some forms? And then even more bizarre, And we didn't have Instagram when I played, which makes me really old, I guess. But, you know, to just reach out to people on Instagram, like random people, hey, can you give me a massage? Like, so first of all, people don't switch very often. Secondly, you usually ask the team for like a reputable place or someone they recommend. You're not like on Instagram going and just finding random people. So it's bizarre, to say the least. I thought it was interesting too. I had Seth Payne on today's Ross Tucker podcast, and people haven't talked about this enough, Jim. You know, Seth played 10 years, 5 for the Texans. He does Houston Sports Talk Radio now. He said that he felt like Deshaun's approval rating was in the city of Houston was still like a 90%, even after he demanded a trade. And I thought that was a great, like, I never thought of it that way. When's the last time a guy, the star player of a team, demands a trade and everybody in the city supports him? Like, if that happened in Philadelphia, Jim, no chance. I just can't get over the fact that that's how beloved he was before all this stuff came out. The guy says, I want out, I want to get out of here, and the city backs him and not the team.
I think Ross, to answer that question, probably because that team is so jacked up and has made so many bad decisions, and the fans were so upset, and the guy was so beloved coming in that he was given the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, that he must be right. He kept his mouth shut when DeAndre Hopkins was dealt and has always been that pro and that guy. I guess that's the only way to explain that, because he was that beloved and that team was just that embarrassing in everything they did.
It's a really good point where, you know, if 90% of the people still backed him, how many would still back him if the Texans hadn't been an embarrassment of an organization at that point? It's a good point, Jim, just to wonder how much of it is just they love Deshaun that much and how much it is they just saw that much that the Texans were a train wreck, and it was almost like voting in favor of Deshaun Watson over the team was more a reflection on the team than it was even of Watson.
Ross Tucker joining us now. It's a good point, Ross. So if you're an opposing team right now and you need a quarterback and you know what's going on with him, Deshaun Watson, and we're not exactly sure where this leaves him, if you're an opposing team, would you make a deal for him?
I don't think you can do that right now. I mean, that would be such a bad look. You know, the only teams that could ever do something like that would be the teams who have someone at the top that really just does not care what other people think. So it almost reminds me of the Cowboys when they signed Greg Hardy, and Jerry Jones was just like, yeah, I don't care. Okay, everybody's going to criticize me and say I'm a terrible person. Yeah, I don't really care. I can see Belichick being like that. Okay, whatever. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think anyone's going to do it now. And the crazy thing is, I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, I do the Eagles preseason games on TV and I do Eagles pregame. I'm almost wondering if them getting those two more first round picks next year with the Dolphins trade and presuming Carson Wentz plays 70% of the time, I almost wonder if the Eagles would potentially be in the driver's seat to get Watson next year if Hurts doesn't work out, because who else is going to have that much ammo? I just don't see how it can happen this offseason. I think at some point he's going to have to get these legal issues resolved one way or the other, and then it might be a situation where Watson gets traded next offseason. And people say that about Russell Wilson, too.
Ross Tucker joining us. They do say that about Russ also. Now, Ross, what about the 49ers? They give up 3 first-round picks, and we're not talking about for a Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. We're talking about 3 first-round picks for an unproven commodity. What does that tell you about the 49ers and what they're thinking? And if that pick does turn out to be a franchise quarterback, are the 3 first-rounders a bargain?
Yeah, so the first thing is, remember when like the Bears evidently offered 3 first round picks and a 2 and 2 defensive starters? People like, oh man, that's a lot. That was for Russell freaking Wilson or Deshaun Watson. I mean, the Niners gave up more than 3 first round picks. They also gave up that 3rd round pick this year for QB3, rookie QB3 to be named later. You know, it's not going to be Lawrence. It's not going to be Wilson. It's going to be the 3rd guy. Nobody seems to know who it'll be, whether it's Lance or Fields, or a lot of people think Mac Jones. But yeah, I mean, if anything, and I know there's a financial element of it too, but if anything, it increases the compensation that you would expect the Texans or the Seahawks to be able to get for their star quarterbacks if they elect to move them at any point. As for the Niners, I think they just got tired of Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt, and they just realized it's not sustainable. And even though there's not a lot of dead cap money on the contract, he just makes too much money. If they want to start to lock up some of these other young players like Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel and other guys next few years, they just need a much cheaper quarterback. And I think that they think they can get a guy that can play at Garoppolo's level very soon with that number three pick. And look, if they end up getting a guy that becomes their quarterback for 10 years and ends up being a good player, there's almost nothing that's too much to give up. The flip side is, I don't know, man, a year ago, we would have been saying the same thing about Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and what the Rams and Eagles gave up to get those guys, and now neither one of them is even with their team anymore. So it can change quickly.
It's extremely well said. 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst. He is host of the excellent Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a Westwood One and CBS Sports Network broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Hey, Ross, are you on tonight's game? Are you a college basketball guy? And how are you playing that game tonight? Gonzaga -4.5. I'll take a shot and ask you that.
I am a college basketball guy. It's probably like my second favorite. Well, other than football, my favorite sport's college basketball. I'm just so mad at myself right now, Jim. I fell asleep at halftime Saturday night, bro.
You are an East Coast guy, dude.
I fell asleep at halftime. So, like, that's one of those, you know, that first game stunk. I was watching with my father-in-law. Then I'm watching the second game, and it's like, okay, UCLA played awesome, and they're still losing. Gonzaga's going to win. When I
you
woke
had a couple
up,
of packages
you know,
of peeps. You had a couple of packages of peeps. You went into a peeps coma, and you napped it out, right, Ross?
I'm so mad at myself. And, you know, next day, greatest college basketball game ever, blah, blah, blah. And I see the shot. And I don't know. I might have to go back and watch that some more. I still like Gonzaga. Baylor was really impressive, but I would lay the only thing I don't know is that had to have taken a lot out of this ad.
Right. See, that's a great question. I'm wondering that myself. All right, Ross. Ross Tucker. See, that's what I think. I know they both are turning it around in 48 hours, but that took a lot more out of them.